Greetings in the name of Jesus this evening. The last song, we made a statement, said another year of progress, pointing back that we had a year of progress prior to this. This is a side note, but how would you measure progress in our spiritual life? It's not the message tonight, but I was sitting there thinking, well, how would I measure progress in my spiritual life? So that's just a thought you can take home with you. Let's turn our Bibles to 1 Timothy. There's two verses there, and tonight we're going to look at the title of the message is, What Does It Look Like to Be an Apostle? So we're going to pull a couple verses out of 1 Timothy and Ephesians and 2 Corinthians. The word is not used to, the word apostle is used often, but the definition of an apostle is an ambassador. So we're going to look at those two words. They somewhat support each other. So in the 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, it says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior, and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope, unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, God our Father and Jesus Christ, our Lord. And we'll turn to Ephesians chapter 6. And we're going to pick up where Barry left off. We're going to overlap just a bit there when he says that in verse 18, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, praying always, he's telling them to be praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And then Paul says, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly, to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. And so we're going to go to 2 Corinthians. Second Corinthians chapter 5. Starting in verse 17, says, Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. What a there's some powerful commandments, if you will, as we think about that. In Paul's letters, he usually says several things, and we can flip back to 1 Timothy just to get a little picture of this. There's several things that Paul usually says in his letters, and this one here, there's three things that he's saying in his opening. He's saying who he is. He's saying that he's Paul. And second, he's saying what he is. He's an apostle of Jesus Christ. And then he is saying why he is an apostle, or why he is what he is. And that is by the commandment of God our Savior. So I was thinking that how many apostles do we have here this evening? Anybody? Raise your hand if you're an apostle. Okay, I didn't see any hands. Perhaps when we get done, we can change that. So the question follows, if you and I are not an apostle of Jesus Christ, what are we? And if I am an apostle, who am I an apostle of? By what authority can Paul say that he was an apostle of Jesus Christ? Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, how? By the commandment of God our Savior and the Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. So let's think about the definition. The word apostle is a delegate, is to send on an embassy, to send as a representative. Anybody been sent? Specifically, an ambassador of the gospel. Someone that has been entrusted with the gospel. Officially, a commissioner of Christ with miraculous powers. A messenger, or someone that is sent. An ambassador is the in this world in its terms is the highest ranking diplomatic representative of one country to another. And an ambassador is an apostle. So there's a chain here that we should be following. So the question is what does it look like to be an apostle in our day today in the world we live in? So as we think of that, I'd like to think of some pictures in our lives of what does it look like for the Church of Jesus Christ, for us as individuals to be ambassadors for Jesus, the highest ranking diplomatic representative of the kingdom of heaven for Jesus Christ, living in his sin-cursed world. You know, I respond, God is not waiting, and I choose when to come. It's not that. It's not my choice when I come to God. It's by the commandment of God. John chapter 6, verse 44, and I wrote these verses down. You can turn to them if you will, but I copied them down for lack of time. It says, "No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up the last day." So often we have this thought that I will come when I want. I will obey when I'm ready. This is not how it works. Jesus calls and I respond. He asks and I obey. He sends and I go. Because he may not call again. Just because he called me once doesn't mean he's going to call me twice. Just because he asked me to go one place or do this one thing doesn't mean he's going to do it again. So to be an apostle is by the commandment of God. When he calls, I obey. God calls, I count the cost. I begin weighing the tangible against the intangible, the perishable against the unperishable, the now against the later. Death to self against eternal life. We're making these subconscious thoughts at a rapid rate of speed when we're called to obey. When a truth is revealed to us. Reputation against no reputation. Being my own against being a servant. So we're sitting here weighing when God has called you and me out of darkness into his marvelous light to be an ambassador in Paul. He says he was in bond. He was sitting in prison, his hands chained together, but he was an ambassador of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It was a burden of his heart that he would go out and he would be the highest ranking diplomatic representative of the gospel of Jesus Christ to a dark world. Paul's response was on the way to destroy the Christians as he's laying there in the dirt. He says, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" We've been bought with a price, and the price was the precious blood of Jesus. You saw the blood on the door the other a week ago when Brother Solly preached the message. Today it's the blood of Jesus Christ in that door. It's not the lamb. It's not an animal. but it's the blood of Jesus for you and I. That's what it took to redeem our souls. Next is repentance, not just confession. Paul didn't walk around and just say, hey, I'm an apostle of Jesus. And he continued to do whatever he was doing prior to that. He didn't say that he's following Jesus. He didn't say he's here to take the gospel of Jesus and continue to persecute the Christian. That wasn't possible. We must walk the walk. We must live the life. We repent because we understand that we are not being an apostle for Jesus. We understand that while I'm here, I'm representing me and itself. We must turn from our wicked ways. We must mortify the flesh. We must cut off the old man. Repentance is turning from what I was without Christ to a life surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Repentance is turning from what I was without Christ to a life surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. What do you want me to do, Lord? You ever wonder, like, what's your purpose in life? And by the way, I want to make a note here. I'm not talking to just the married folks here tonight. If you're Jesus was 12 years old, and where do we find Jesus? He was in the temple teaching the word. So I'm going to encourage you, whatever age you are, if you're old enough to hear me tonight, and you made a commitment to Jesus Christ, Get it. You are to be an ambassador for Jesus. You're not here to just live your life as you wish, but we're here to represent the kingdom of heaven in a dark world. That's what we're here for. We as parents must show our children what this looks like, because more is caught than taught. We must teach our children the difference of confession versus repentance, that they could see us as parents in true repentance and humility and brokenness, willing to give up our lives, willing to be dead to myself and surrender to Jesus, and not just saying that I'm a follower of Jesus, but I'm walking that way. I know that it would not be the desire of our heart to have our children to grow up simply having reformed their lives. So we must show them a transformation. If Daddy and Mommy aren't transformed, it's going to be fairly difficult to have Junior and Susie be transformed. Thirdly, it's a yielded life and will. John chapter 12, verse 24 and 25. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it. He that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servants be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. This is not my life to live anymore. We are now ambassadors for Jesus. If we've been bought by the precious blood of Christ, we are apostles for Jesus. If not, what am I? Paul was willing to lose himself and take on the form of Christ in a dark world. He now displays the nature of Jesus everywhere he goes. He no longer ran after his reputation. Paul was now responsible for the word. We read that in 2 Corinthians. We'll just turn there and reread it. He says, "In all things are of God," verse 18, "who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ," God's doing the reconciling here, "and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation." He has entrusted into the church, into the saints of Jesus Christ, to reconcile men back to himself. Then he says, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you, urgently beg you, by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. Paul was willing to put himself in bondage to be the servant of Jesus Christ. That's why Paul was a free man. Therefore, Christ was his only hope. That is all he had to live for, and that's all he had to die for, was Jesus Christ. It's a call of complete surrender to the lordship of Jesus Christ. He gave up everything to learn Christ. You know, Barry was talking this morning about the busy mind is occupied on the things of this life. Perhaps it's because we're not being ambassadors for Jesus. How many of you are home? How many of us call this home? We're not there yet. We're on the mission field. There's souls that are lost. There's souls that are perishing by the moment. This little, maybe a crude illustration, but for sake of illustrating. I know some of you have seen this before. So here we have the two kingdoms. Everybody that has never been born again, everybody that has never received the blood of Jesus Christ dwells in the kingdom of darkness. Everybody, every friend, brother, nephew, aunt, uncle that you can think of, or neighbor dwells in darkness if they've never been born again. And we that have been born again dwell in the light, and we live here, we dwell there, we abide there, but we are ambassadors, so we are sent to here to call these into this light. That's what an apostle is. And I think that if we can get a hold of this concept, it'll take away the idea of getting so rooted down in this life. Paul didn't run after a savings account. Yes, Paul was a tent maker, and he did that on the side, and he preached the gospel as his full-time job. But I think if we can understand this, it will dynamically change our perspective of life. That we are called to be ambassadors. Now, as we think of an outward expression of Christ dwelling within, a life of victory over the flesh and all of its lusts. So we live in this life, but we live a victorious Christian life. The world knows nothing about that. But it's a life that displays Jesus Christ and Him crucified in every area of my life. Not just in some, but in every area of my life. There's a complete change. However, too often we find that this is not a picture of our lives. We're falling short. As the picture was being painted this morning by Brother Barry, we're finding ourselves falling short. Yes, we understand the struggle. Our minds are boggled down. Because we've adopted the mentality that I was saved back there somewhere. Pointing back to an experience because we have nothing to point to after that. Yeah, way back there somewhere I got born again. Maybe it was 17 years ago. Maybe it was 20 years ago. But after that, there's nothing. Being an apostle is not an experience, but rather a lifestyle. And it dynamically changed Paul's life. Sometimes we sit here and we desire to be like the Christians of the days gone by. Oh, if we could just be, and we put their name in there. And oh, if we could just be, and we put their name there. Because we understand that something's missing. So we're looking for a new experience. We're looking for something different. We know that our lives are not what they should be. We know the struggles come too often. We know failure happens time and time again. We confess over and over again. We hate the fact that there's no victory. We desire victory over the carnal nature, but we're not willing to pay the price. So my friends, if we're sitting here and we're struggling and we're fighting and life is just like this, over and over again, that's not God's desire for us. The church is to be victorious. But we continue to hang on to the flesh with all of our carnal excuses to do exactly what we want to do. Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2 says, "Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us," that is to distract you from the way, "and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." He's sitting there today making intercession for you and I. He wants you and I to be victorious in this life. It's his desire. "The things that I'm doing, are they drawing men's hearts and minds to worship God?" The things that we're doing in this life, are they drawing men's hearts and minds to worship God? If not, who are they pointing people to? Now that you have a better understanding of being an apostle, who would be willing to be an apostle for Jesus? Would we be willing to surrender our lives to be an ambassador of the gospel? I encourage us to go out. There's a call, and it's not just because you have the right name, but it's a command of God. Paul said it. We're to be ambassadors in bonds for Jesus Christ and his gospel. It's really not that difficult. It's pretty simple. It only requires everything that I possess. I must die to self if I will live for Christ. That's it. That's all that it takes, is death to me to live for Jesus. I'm going to close with a couple verses here. In Hebrews chapter 10. In Hebrews chapter 10, if you're sitting here tonight and you have not yet surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, you have not yet been willing to just lay your life down for Him and allow Him to use you, this is what you have to look forward to. In Hebrews chapter 10, we'll start in... we'll just jump in at verse 28. Says, "He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses." So if you get a picture here, back in the days of Moses, that if you despised the law of Moses, you was taken without the camp and you was stoned without mercy. There was no trial to be had to see if you was right or if you was wrong. You was taken out there and you was stoned to death. There's no mercy. And then he says, "Of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace." How much sore punishment do you think somebody is thought worthy of that is rejecting the blood of Jesus Christ? And to pass away with that, with those thoughts. So my encouragement is let us be ambassadors for Christ, calling men out of darkness and into his marvelous light. God bless you, and thank you for your attention.